It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
And I'm delighted to have a very special guest with you on today. Today, I have the financial diva, Victoria Woods, who's an internationally celebrated investment advisor to millionaires. As founder and chief investment advisor for Chapelwood Financial Services in Edmond, her career highlights include hosting a top radio show, It's All About the Money, Honey, on the popular iHeartRadio.com. She's also the author of It's All About the Money, Honey, which is her first book. Envisioning and founding the 84-acre financial district of Oklahoma in Edmond, receiving the Global Wealth Management Award in Greece in 2017, serving as an active board advisor, member of the Asset Mark, a national $92 billion wealth management firm, being appointed by Governor Mary Fong to serve as a commissioner for the Oklahoma Status Quo, being appointed as a delegate to the White House Conference on Small Business by President Bill Clinton, one result of the creation of Roth IRAs, and being named by the Journal Record as one of Oklahoma's 50 most influential women. And in her spare time, she enjoys traveling, cruising, quality time with her husband, and a dog, Reno, and philanthropic activities. Now, I know that I gave you a whole lot of information, but the thing that's most important for you to know is that Victoria is someone that I have a great amount of respect for. I had the great pleasure and opportunity to visit her firm in Oklahoma, and I'm excited to be able to bring you her today. Now, for those of you that are just listening for the very first time, as you know, this is focused on the financial danger no one is talking about. The fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing a cash flow danger, and 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 retirement. And I will say the one thing that really ties everyone together is that we have a foundation based upon faith, not spirituality, not religion, but faith. And so let me decrease and allow Victoria to increase. Victoria, welcome to the stage. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much for having me, Nate. I'm very honored to be here, excited to be here on your podcast.
Absolutely. I am so glad to finally have the opportunity for us to get here.
It took a while, right? It took a minute.
It has been. But you know what? It hasn't, because the time in which we've actually gotten to know each other, you know, we laugh about collapsing time frames. So it feels as if we've spent a long time, but the truth of the matter is we've really known each other short when it comes to natural time frame, but it seems like dog years, as it will.
I couldn't agree more.
So Victoria, today what I'd like to do is really give the audience an opportunity to get to know you, know your backstory, and know really what makes you different in the financial services world. And given 2023 and what's been on the horizon, speaking of inflation and recession, just some things that you want to share to give guidance and direction to help people that are going to be facing with challenges. So let's open it up by first just share your story.
Well, it's one of those, she came from very humble beginnings. I was not raised with any kind of financial education or support or background. Growing up, I mean, I didn't have lunch money, if that's the way for people to relate. I did not have lunch money. We were one of those families that my mother literally went and picked up my father's check at Bell Helicopter and rushed it to the bank to cover probably whatever checks they had outstanding. So that's where I came from. I started babysitting because I knew if I wanted to have any kind of money, that I needed to come up with something creative. And I decided this apartment complex was behind our house. So luckily for me, our backyard had a fence, I mean, a gate to the apartment complex. And we're out there playing one day, and I was like, all these mothers need somebody to watch all these little, you know, rug rats. So I decided to start a company. And I didn't know it was a company at the time, but it was babysitting. And I literally grew my babysitting business from babysitting one little girl to I literally was babysitting up to six at 12. Who is crazy enough to give a 12-year-old responsibility? But then I did come out of the womb being a little bossy, as my mother would say. So it wasn't really that unusual, but I would babysit up to six children at one time and could keep them all contained. And it was good for me, and it was good for the kids, and it was also good for the parents. So that's really where I came from. My degree actually, though, is in fashion. So I literally went from the fashion industry into finance, and I was recruited when I moved to Denver, and I had started something new, which was a concierge service for busy business owners. I thought, you know, business owners need some help. They're trying to run their companies. And I became one of the first. We didn't know this was a new concept to the president of this beautiful store called Printemps. They came from Stanley Korsh, Neiman Marcus to Stanley Korshak, and they created Printemps. And it was based on a French store, and it was absolutely stunning. Loved working there. But I created, and I approached Bill, the president of the store, and I said, store manager, I said, well, you know, this concept I want to create. And so I created that, and it was hugely successful. And I was recruiting a customer, Mr. Brian Lucas, and he decided, because he stood me up, which was a big mistake of his, but then it gave him an opportunity to recruit me. And he told me the way I followed up, he wanted me to go to work. And I started my career in, I believe it was like 84. It took him 7 months to convince me that I should leave and join them sharing and serving. And the reason I did, it wasn't really the money. The money looked really good for me, but I realized that at my age, I had doubled my income because I was very successful at every position that I'd had. I was a buyer, youngest buyer at 23 before I came to Printemps. So, you know, everything I'd done, I doubled my income, and I was earning a really great living. I mean, back in the day, it was great. So what do we do when we all earn money and we don't know what to do because we haven't been educated? We have no basis for understanding what to do with money, how to get money to work for you. So I kept thinking about that for a long time. I thought, you know, I've earned a lot of money and I'm not doing what I should be doing. This is an opportunity for me to learn. So why don't, you know, I take this leap of faith, basically, because I felt like if I'm in this situation, then many other people are as well. They've come out of poverty, they don't know what to do, but they're earning a good living, and I could help them by showing them how to save and invest. And that's what truly happened. Very successful, just out of the gate. Top sales in this Brokers International firm. So it's kind of all been a fairy book, and I always thought my whole life would be fashion, and I found that it was truly finance and serving people in a way that really, truly makes a difference. Yes, our clothes do make us feel good. Our clothes are important, but learning how to invest is truly the most important thing you can do, because it shares so much about who you are with what you do with money. And the more you earn and the more you give, the more you get, but also the more you can bless other people. So that's extremely important to me. And my clients are that way. They all are very philanthropic people. They give to every kind of organization. So that's the short version of the life in Victoria, from fashion to finance.
Love it. Love it. No, I love when you shared that story with me about how you're recruited into the industry. I love how you took the skills that you had been applying in the fashion world and in the retail space, and you brought that concept and applied it to the way that you do business. And it's really the thing that stood out to me that caused me to take an immediate liking for you and the professional that you are. Because for me, I had an interest in the world of money. As a 10th grader in high school, I made a decision that I wanted to be financially free because of how I grew up. And as a result of that, I at least started taking steps to learning. And as I fast forwarded, I had some success as I transitioned from the military that inevitably led me to getting cold called by financial professionals. But they didn't know actually my background, that I had some actually academic training in the financial services with my graduate studies. And I was getting cold call for people, I would ask two questions. And those questions inevitably led me to, because of their responses, made me wonder if they were just salespeople. And so I went into the financial services myself as an advisor. And within a week, I realized in that business for the firm that I was working with, that it was not what I thought it was. And so I was excited to learn, as a result of reading your book, It's All About the Money, Honey, Real Talk About Building Wealth, about your process and how you framed the book with certain questions that inevitably was about educating the consumer and giving them information that would allow them to make informed decisions. I'd love to speak to you about some of those things, because I think that would be a tremendous value in drawing the distinction between who you guys are, but more importantly, gives the reader or the listener the opportunity to make some informed decisions as they're trying to make the decision about who's the best fit, because you guys don't accept everyone. I mean, you got a very clear focus on who your audience is, but still the framework is something that I think is valuable to everyone. So my first question to you is, why should someone have a financial advisor?
You know, Nate, that's a great question. And it kind of goes back to when you're earning a lot of money and you don't know what to do, what do? You spend it. That's what you do. You have the best car, you have the best clothes of all your friends. You get to take everybody out, but you spend it because you don't know what to do with it. So one of the smartest things that you can do, in my view, is hire a professional. Just like any athletes, you know, they all hire the best nutritionist, the best, you know, mindset coaches. You hire the best and get, you know, who you can. Now, we are advisors to millionaires, as you know. So you're right. We have a very specific group of people. And people ask me all the time, why do you still do a radio show? Why do you take the time to write a book? Why do you do a second edition? And all those reasons are to help people, to serve more people. I just believe that if you've learned something, and hopefully at my age, I have learned a lot, that I pass that on to the next generation or to people I know and people I care about. I want everybody to be successful. And the only way to be successful is to have knowledge. And I am a ferocious reader. I've been doing that since I was 17. So I've always been educating myself, and I continue to do that. People even ask me again, it's like, why do you still read so many books, and why do you do these things? And it's because I want to know every single thing I can, not only to help my clients, but to help the public. And that's why I do the radio show. And it starts with, and the book is really a fun, easy read. When you look at it, I mean, there's some things in there that really get into money. But at the beginning, and I talk about, as you know, it's really money mindset. And what does that mean? And I use this example of the president of the United States, Oprah Winfrey, in You. And I talk about the laws of the universe, because they're people aren't just lucky. There's not different rules for different people in the universe. Now, in society, there are, but not in the universe. The universe, we're all equal. It doesn't matter if you are black, white, purple, red, fat, skinny, broke, rich, it doesn't matter. We're all the same. And I used the example of thought, you know, jumping off a diving board. Just because you're Oprah, you don't get to just float in the air. No, you're going down. You're the president of the United States. You're going down. If you're Victoria, you're everybody, it's a law. You can't change that. So you have to have a good feeling about money and not think it's evil. And a lot of us grew up, you know, hearing that money is evil. And it is not the love of money. It's like, I heard this woman speak one time, and it was, and she was repeating what this gentleman said. And he was a spiritual leader, and it was a more of a religious conference. And he talked about, he pulled out money and was saying how much he loved it. And people were appalled. I mean, literally kissing one, and they were appalled over that. Well, you know, most of us would be. But when he put it in perspective that, now, if I brought my grandson out here and I held him up and I loved on him and kissed on him, and you would have thought totally different. But because it's money, he said, what difference does it make if it's money? Because if you don't love it, you repel it. And what you fear comes upon you. So you can't fear money. You must let it flow into your life. I even have mantras when I had no money about money flows to me easily and effortlessly. And it does. And the more you believe that, and you have to believe it, but the more you believe it, the more it does. And money, I haven't worried about money in years. I mean, we all had the days where every day I look at my bank account and hope I had some money in there. There were the days, and there were plenty of them. I was so fearful too about giving money away, even though I understood the law of the universe. Because when you're a business owner and you want, you know, you've got responsibilities, you've got employees, and not just the employee, that extends to their family. So I take that responsibility very seriously. So if somebody wanted me to donate to something, I remember being very concerned and not doing it the first time I got asked. And it has always stayed with me. It bothers me to this day that I didn't, but it taught me a really good lesson, because I am always been provided for. I didn't have to worry about it, and I needed to let it go and let it flow easily and effortlessly. However, there's also, I learned very young, which was really good. I was about 23, I think, when I was at this conference. I've been to many conferences, and I'm one of those that if I go to a conference, I'm taking something back with me. You and I had this discussion, Nate, about how many people we were at a conference and how many of those people in the room spent a lot of money, right? You did, I did. We invested our time, transportation, accommodations, and money to attend. But how many of those people in that room are actually going to go back and implement what they learned? And you and I have had this discussion, and we both agree. I mean, you and I immediately were bonded by that we both did. And we took action. And that's one of the things that I admired most about you, and why we became connected immediately, is because you did that. And I was like, okay, he's the one guy in the room, like the one person in the room, Victoria, that is actually going to take it back. I don't understand people that don't do that. But you've got to actually take action. There was this gentleman that used this example of, you know, affirmations, visualizations, all of these wonderful things, laws of the universe, that I learned over a two-day weekend. And to this day, I still remember specifically about the fact that he talks about, you know, none of this makes any difference. None of this, anything you're learning, none of it makes any difference unless you put it into action. You cannot sit in a warm bathtub and just affirm how everything is wonderful. And I'll never forget that. And I've always thought about people that, you know, talk about it. But I have implemented that my whole life. We actually do visualization boards. You should come to one of our corporate retreats. You'd enjoy it so much. I'll have you, maybe next year you can come. But we do visualization boards. And, you know, I have one of my CFPs, Damon. He put on his visualization board when he came here, this dream home. And of course, let me back up, because they all think it's hokey, you know, really, Victoria. You know, we have a $200 million company here, and we're doing cutting out pictures out of magazines, and we're doing visualization work. And I go, yep, we are. And they know I mean it. They thought I was kidding the first year. Like, nope, this is what we're doing. Get the glue out. And we, at the end of the first day, we do visualization boards. And because I want to prove to them that those things come true and they happen. If you have an idea in your head, that's one thing. If you write it down, that's pretty powerful. If you say it out loud, it's going to happen. And then if you have a picture of it, it's all of these things go out to the universe, and the universe will, it will come back to you. And I gave them every time this happened. So Damon put on this visualization board about his dream home. He and his wife have a nice home, but they wanted their dream home. And he just closed on it on Friday. So we are so thrilled. And it actually became bigger than what he anticipated, because once he put it on the visualization board and we started working towards that, it ended up being definitely a bigger dream home than he anticipated in the luxury of the home. But also it's on what he also had in his head about dreaming about, but never thought it would happen. And he's actually on 9 acres. So it can be even more powerful. This last year, he put on his board, he said, we need a company plane. Well, I couldn't agree with him more. However, Victoria knows what planes cost. So when he puts this on his board, I said, okay, David, let's do it. Put it on there. Let's see what happens. It was 2 months that I had been approached 3 different times. Wasn't it? It was a month, and I was approached by a charter company. And then a week later, I was approached by 2 other charter companies. So, I mean, you know, it really does happen. I had one visualization board that all that was put on there was Brazil, going to Brazil. Literally the next week, I get this email out of the blue to me about this special trip to Brazil. What a deal. It was crazy. But this is really what happens. And if you don't have goals now, as you know, I'm very specific about my goals, and I've always written them down. But several years ago, I realized how important it was not only to think about them and write them down, which I always have them somewhere where you can see them, read them every night, every morning, remind yourself. Now, of course, I put them on my phone, but I still carry cards, and I created these cards that anybody that sees me, I don't know if you can see this in here, but anybody that meets me gets a card. If you come to me and want me to do something for you, which a lot of people do, when I give people time, when we're finished, I said, you know, I understand what you're asking of me. And I said, now here are my goals. And I said, I'd like for you to look at them for me and tell me which one of these you can help me with. And then you just shut up and let them read them. And this is true. I don't care who you are. The charter company got one. The governor got one. When I go to his inaugural and it's like, okay, put this in your pocket. Here are my goals for the year. Look at this, sir, and tell me what it is you think you can help me with. That's what I want everybody to do, because I know how powerful it is. That goes back to the whole flow. You know, putting it out there in the universe, saying what it is that you want. However, when I ask what my biggest fear is, can you imagine? Okay, some people say, are you scared of anything? Are you fearful of anything? Absolutely. And the one thing I'm fearful of is asking for something that is not in my best interest, because I know I will get it.
That's powerful. Wow. That's extremely powerful to recognize and to believe that which you ask for, you can actually have it. You know, one of the things that makes this so powerful is how it fits directly into the essence of life is rich. The foundation of life is rich was rooted in the fact that at 19, as I walked the perimeter during Operation Desert Storm, I said, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'd never waste day of my life. And so at the essence, it's the faith walk for me. And all that you're speaking of really highlights what I learned when I got exposure to personal growth and development, It's when I learned how to actually read the Bible as a practical manual. It also highlights the book that you recommended to me, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I'm really loving what is communicated in that book because I understand the truth of it. But I love hearing you speak to how you've applied those concepts and how real that is for you. And it causes you to be cautious of those things in which you ask for. So I really appreciate you sharing that. There's so many people that just have never been exposed to personal growth and development, especially when I think about people that are in the financial services industry, the traditional track. What is it, or how does that element of who you are separate you out from others in this industry?
I think what we do so different is that we truly customize. When people say they customize things, what advisors really mean is, I'm going to put you in one of three holes. That's customization. And I know that for a fact because I've been recruited by everybody. Name a broker dealer, name a firm. Everybody wants me because I am very public, whereas a lot of financial advisors are not. And when you have a radio show and you're on TV and you're on the Today Show and you're on Fox News and you get asked to do these things, you're more public and the recruiters want to come after you. But what I have done, though, is I always look. I always go have a meeting. When they ask me for a meeting, I go. When they throw the bonuses at me, like I'm an athlete, they're giving me these huge bonuses to sell my book of business, start over again, whatever their deal is that they want. But I always look because, and people, why do you do that, Victoria? Why do you spend your time? You know you're going to say no. I say not necessarily. And I may learn something that they have that's a benefit for my clients and my company. So I never see it as a waste of time. I haven't done this in several years now, but I always take the time and go. I know I'm going to learn something because I have rules, and you know that I live by, right? We've talked about this, that my rules are simple. I always say, I'm just a simple little girl from Fort Worth, Texas, so everything has to be simple for me. And we live in a very complicated world. My industry is complicated. A banker I met in October was saying this to me. He wanted my advice for the bank to have a financial channel. And he was just rubbing his head. He was just stressing out over, your business is so complicated. I said, yeah, it is. It's complicated. And our job is to be so smart and so good at what we do, we can simplify it on one page for anybody. And going back to when I accept anything, it's always just like if it's accepting a podcast or it's accepting a stage speaking engagement. Right now we're going to do CBS. I've been asked to be on CBS next week, and there's rules. And I say rules, it's the way I qualify things. So it's really easy for me to make decisions because I say, number one, am I going to make new friends? Okay, I can always make new friends. I said, number two is, am I going to learn something? And number three, am I going to have fun? And if I can answer yes to all three of those things, I'm your girl, I'm in. If I can't, then it's easy for me to say no. So it's just a way to qualify. Just like our clients, we have the way we qualify them. And we've had this discussion again as well about, how do you qualify your clients? Because like you said, we don't take just anybody and everybody fogging a mirror. We don't. Because you cannot serve everyone. It's like, if you're chasing two rabbits, you're not going to catch either one of them. That's Dale Carnegie. Anybody that hasn't been around, on this planet knows you cannot chase two rabbits and catch either one of them. So it's real simple to say, these are the people that we want to serve. And we are advisors to millionaires, mid-tier millionaires for a reason. And we do the radio show for aspiring millionaires. We want to help you get there as fast as possible. And we also know that it's the hardest to get to that 500,000 saved. But once you get there, it's exponential, and we can get you to the million so much quicker by following specific guidelines. And this is what you have to do to get where you want to go. And it's very simple, but we give everybody, because right now, especially, tax efficiency is critical. But we all go through, and we help our clients with being tax efficient. Because back in the day, when, and some people are still doing this, this whole invest 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, and you're good to go. Well, no, darling, that changed about, I don't know, 1980 something, maybe 82, 84. I had a gentleman come to me, and he's very smart, one of the country's number one attorneys for a specific, he worked with us on our trademarks. So he's a very successful in trademarks. And he came to me and he was frustrated with his statements. And he said, Victoria, would you mind? Don't take a lot of time, please. It's just a favor. Could you look at this? And it didn't take me 5 minutes. I was like, I cannot charge this man as much as I charge people, because it didn't take me 5 minutes. I looked at it and went, oh, okay, this is your problem. You've got a big hole. Because he had no international, no nothing outside of just local stocks and bonds. So you have to know there's so many different areas that you have to cover now to be really diversified, that it's more challenging. However, we are truly, and I call it more personalization than customizing, but it truly is. You're customizing the investments. What you're personalizing in are the goals, because everybody's not just like one size fits all. It's not. We spend more time discovering who our potential family members, and we call them CFS family members. We spend more time discovering what they want. And I designed a form that clarifies and helps people figure out, what is it that you want? What's most important? And then, okay, well, then let's weed everything out, like in fashion. I say it's so simple. We weed everything out that doesn't have to do with those goals. As an example, if somebody comes into me, and I'm in the fashion world, and they come to me and say, Victoria, I'm having a business interview next week. You know, well, how can I help you today? Well, I have this business interview. I'd like a new, you know, professional outfit. I'm like, great. I'm not going to take you over to the party gowns. I'm not going to take you over to swimwear. I'm not going to take you over to, you know, no. We weed out everything, go, this is where we go. Weed all that stuff out. This is where we go. And we're going to find you the perfect, most professional outfit available. It really is that simple, but you've got to weed out everything that's not going to reach the goal for the client. Then once you discover, we call that clarifying, and everybody's now confident. You can see the confidence of people. Then the next step I go to is, okay, now these are the solutions to get you where you want to go. And you weed out everything else except these solutions. Make it very simple, and then let's decide on them. Make the best decision you can, and you never make a decision unless the sun is shining, the sky is blue, and everything is calm. You do not make these decisions when the hurricane is upon you, when the tornado alarms are going off. You don't do it. You have to wait till they're calm. Like in 2008, everybody wanted to make an adjustment, not our clients. We did not make any adjustments. Nobody went to cash, didn't lose a client, because we had done all this preparation. I think it's more like the military. When you talk about a lot, I've heard you talk about preparation and how important preparation is. I didn't really realize it till after 2008, till about mid 2009, or even later, that we had already done the preparation, which made me very happy. But in the midst of the war and the fire and the brimstone, it didn't seem like it at the time.
Wow. Yeah. Everything that you just walked through, especially that process of how you take someone from start to finish once they've actually been selected, is so important. And let's give it time one more time. What are those three things that you look for in selecting if someone's the right fit?
Well, I think I skipped over that, Nate. So it is, thank you for bringing that up again. It's truly, you have to have the right attitude first. Seriously, we have to like who we're working with, because this is a 30-year relationship. So I gotta like you. And I'm very proud. The first time I heard that someone said, I hope you like me, because your reputation, Victoria, is that you only take on people you like. And I'm thinking, really? And I kind of cringed a little bit, but then I realized I love that, because the reputation is that we take our time in selecting someone to partner with, someone to assist in their goals, in creating the life that they want. It's truly creating the life that you want. So you have to have a plan. Life can either just happen or you create it. It's just, there's no other way around it. You can just let it happen and get what you get, or you can determine, these are the goals that I have. This is what I want to create. And this is, you know, and these are the assets that I have to do it. And I've got the right attitude. I want to know that those, you know, we take on a client, that their expectations are reasonable. Because I've had people come in and their expectations were totally unreasonable. And the reason is because they've been doing it on their own and made a hot mess of it. And then they want to come in and want me to fix it. And I go, okay, well, I'm a great fixer. I can do a lot of things, but you're going to need a miracle, because you have made a hot mess of this. And I'd be happy to help you, but you don't have the right reasonable expectations. So nice to meet you. You're a lovely person. Let me give you a recommendation. And they have to leave, because you have to have the right assets, but the right attitude. $1 million is a minimum that anybody in the firm will take on a client. But you have to have the right expectations, so the right attitude. So it's the triple A's. It's assets, attitudes, and you have to understand our culture is different. That's why we don't lose clients. I always joke, the market, when I'm meeting with somebody, the market could drop 800 points and we don't get a phone call. We don't get a phone call. And the reason is because we have clients that understand our culture. They understand we're going to get back to them. They don't need to call us. We will call you if there's a problem. And if there's not, but one client loves to say, you know, I know life is good when Victoria's out on the golf course, because if she's not worried about it, I don't need to be worried about it. So they watch what you do. And nowadays, you know, with social media, everybody knows where everybody is. You know, you know more about me probably than I know about myself, you know, because there's so much out there. But you do have to have, you know, a qualification, or you should. I believe in any kind of a company, you should have a qualification and work with people that there's plenty of people out there that you can work with that you really like. I don't ever want to see on my phone or see on my mobile that somebody calling and I cringe. I don't want that. So in order not to have that, then you have to have qualifications. And two, I believe we have such respect from our clients. I mean, you should see it around here at Christmas. People are always trying to sell me Christmas gifts and stuff to send to my clients. I'm like, you need to come in and see what happens around here at Christmas. Because it's crazy. We get more homemade cookies and, you know, gifts, and it's just, it's wonderful, but it's not normal. So a lot of times we post all that on Facebook about, we used to start lining up all these gifts that we've gotten, and we take pictures of our clients when they come in, and they'll make sure we have a gift bag for everybody that works in the firm. So it's always enjoyable for us around Christmas.
The one criteria that I still hadn't heard you mention that I think is so important is advocacy.
Advocacy, yes. Understanding our culture and being an advocate for us. Because when people refer someone to us and talk about us on social media, it is important that they understand our culture and that our culture is different. Now, we've done things that are, we've got videos that I know you've got links on that you're including, Nate, that shows the Chapelwood difference. But our clients do understand our culture, and they invite people that are like-minded, and they don't refer people that aren't. If somebody is just a complainer all the time and they don't get it and they have, you know, unreasonable expectations, then they just don't send them to us because they're not going to be part of the family, you know, and we all have those family members that just don't get it. But we have, you know, and they are advocates for us. They're out there posting things and thanking us all the time. So it's extremely rewarding. People ask me about retiring, and I'm like, why would I do that? You know, when you have so much knowledge and so many resources and so many relationships that if a client has any kind of unusual problem, I can reach out to somebody in LA or San Francisco or New York or Greece and get a solution for them. I remember recently too, this when I talked about this banker, he needed a resource for somebody to do consulting. And he was just, they invited me to dinner. We're just all outside of the country club and talking about, you know, business. And he asked me, and I didn't say anything about it. But the next day, of course, I'm lounging at the pool and I think, you know, he needs a resource. Let me see what I can do. And it only took me 2 phone calls to get the best resource in the country for him. And that's what our clients have come to expect. They know they don't have to worry about any kind of problem. And it can be health. I mean, come on. I have helped my clients sell their homes. I have helped clients buy their homes. It's like, you're not going to live in an apartment in this transition. No, that's unacceptable. So I go out, and one day a client was going through struggles of finding a home. Well, I know my clients well. And I went to this neighborhood and I found this house and I contacted them and actually texted them and said, have you looked at this neighborhood? And they said, well, no, we haven't. I said, well, it's a perfect location. Looks like y'all. I think you ought to consider it. And that afternoon they went over. And that afternoon they texted me back and said, oh, by the way, you know, that house just didn't work. The closets weren't big enough for Jared, the wife. They just weren't big enough. I said, well, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you took the time, though. And they said, oh, no, we bought a house. I said, excuse me. We went around the corner, and there was a perfect house, very similar to the one, but it was just around the corner on the next street. And as a matter of fact, it's like we could throw a football. If we could, like Tom Brady, we could hit your house, Victoria. So, yeah. So we do whatever. Now, I'm not looking to become a real estate broker, but, you know, we just do whatever we think is in the best interest of our clients. And sometimes if we can help, we go above and beyond.
I love it. Well, listen, that's really what I really want to highlight, because I just find that just the disposition that you guys carry, the luxury brand that you represent, just the emphasis on quality is just so, so important, especially in times like this. It's important to be able to highlight and spotlight those trusted relationships, and you absolutely are one of them. As we round it out, what I'd love to have you share is, what's your big heritage goals for 2023?
Well, they are big, as I said, and I have them all written down on a card. I know you have copies of them already, I believe. And if you don't, I want to make sure you do, because I updated them with my picture, because before I didn't have my picture on it. And somebody, you know, bumped it up a notch or two and put his picture on it, Mr. Nate Scott. And so I was like, if Nate has his picture, I need my picture on it. I don't want people to forget my goals. And so it makes a big difference. Number one, we truly want to serve 1,000 millionaire families. That's truly our goal. And in order to do that, though, and our clients, as you know, they are from California to Florida. So we have them all across the country. But our goal is to serve 1,000. Well, I have a fast rule in the company. Nobody will serve over 150 clients, because we want to know our clients in depth. I mean, literally everything about them. I know every one of their charitable organizations. I know every one of their kids' names or grandkids' names. You know, we want to know our clients, and you can't possibly do that when these people are out there bragging that they have, you know, 1,000, 2,000 clients or so. Do you know my name? And in that case, when was the last time you actually looked at my account? When you have 150, you look at them every day. That's easy. And you can work on those that need tweaking and assistance. But it is, it's truly, you know, wanting to serve those thousand. And if we, in order, not yet, sorry, when we do this, and in order to do this, we have to bring on new advisors. So I have internships that we have placed young people in. We are looking at bringing in Dallas, Fort Worth, wherever it is, we are looking to bring in new advisors to learn our culture, because it is so different. You had a different experience than, you know, I know that experience that you had, and it is different than what we do. Everything is personalized, and we have a process that's extremely specific. I have 6 steps that everyone goes through. And I even have clients that sometimes are, you know, when you're a multi, let's say $25 million client that just, that's the money we manage, that client may be a little more eccentric than the average. So we want to be sure that we understand that we have a process, and this process works, and I don't deviate. I just can't deviate from the process that we have, because I know it works. So we really don't make exceptions to the process, because the process works, and it works long term. So we don't skip steps. We don't have a PowerPoint that says, oh, let's look at these because these pages really don't matter. What they don't matter, why are they there? You know, we don't do that. We go through the steps, and it's only 4 steps. It's 6 steps, but after the discovery, the horizon clarifying is the most important, because we clarify who it is that, you know, what goals you have and what you want. And then we turn around and weed out everything, give you what your solutions are. And then we move into the implementation. And it's like handing the ball off to the director of client services to make sure what we had planned gets executed. And then we simply monitor every single quarter that we're meeting your goals, because goals are nothing unless you monitor them and make adjustments if needed. Because like right now, every person should be meeting with their advisor to see that their goals that they set for the end game, you're on track. You don't want to wait till the end of the game to find out your kicker, I don't know what I'm saying, your kicker can't kick the ball. I mean, we don't want that. So you must monitor it. It's not a one and done. You have to monitor it. And once you get on a system, then it becomes pretty easy, but it's really critical to monitor your investments based on your goals, whatever those goals are. And everybody's different. I have clients that say, I have never been anywhere. I have sacrificed Victoria. I want to travel the world. If that's the case, I'm a girl, because I've traveled a lot and I know what it costs. And so I can help you budget that. I'm telling you, you want to go to Sydney, Australia? Not a problem. I can tell you where to stay, what to do, how to plan the trip, and you're going to have $40,000 to do it. Just get that, plant that seed, because that's what it's going to take. There's other clients that say, I have traveled my whole life for business, and Victoria, I have these precious grandchildren, so we want to sell the house, and we want to move to San Antonio to be close to the grandkids. I'm your girl. No problem. My team will get together. We are going to get you, going to help you sell the house. I'll find you a realtor. I mean, we'll get it done. We'll find you. I'm thinking of specific people right now, of course. Couldn't sell their house. I got them a realtor. We got them moved, found them a beautiful home next to one of their nephews even. And so that happens. You know, you've got to know what the desire is. And then there's people that say, look, been there, done that. I'm kind of tired. Victoria, I just want to sit and watch the grass grow. Really? Okay, I'll never forget. It was a female engineer that was her goal, is to do nothing but sit and watch the grass grow. So for me, there's not a problem there. It's because it's your goal. And what money is it going to take for you to reach your goal? And what's action steps? So everyone has an action plan. When they come to our office, once we decide all these things, then we have an action plan to get your financial house in order so that you can sleep at night.
So the big hairy goal is for you to 1,000 households and do so with at least 100 and no more than 150 clients per advisor. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Well, listen, this has been so packed with information. I'm so delighted that I had an opportunity to bring you to this stage. And I'm looking forward to pushing this out. But more importantly, I'm looking for seeing those people that are going to be blessed by your expertise and the culture that you guys have at Chapelwood. Where can they learn more about you?
Well, Nate, that's a great question, because sometimes we say you're everywhere, you're everywhere. You can go to chapelwood.com, of course. You can be, there's our radio show is there. We're on, I don't know how many podcasts our radio show is on. You can go to iHeartRadio. You can just Google Financial Diva and you'll see everything, links to Chapelwood, to the Financial Diva, to our radio show, our book, drive-throughs. And then there's a wealth of information that anybody can access through us, because we do a Wednesday drive-through live, and you can listen in during your lunch hour for 30 minutes every Wednesday. People love that. We have something called Diva and Friends, and we have that's out to the public. It's for our clients. But I like to open these things up, because the more people we can help become millionaires, that's going to enrich their lives, but then they're a potential client for us as well down the roads.
Awesome. Awesome. And then last thing.
You got all our links.
There we go. And then last thing, any last parting words as you look into the camera, would you want to leave with the listeners?
My best advice is always, don't take advice from broke people, physically, financially, or spiritually.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.